To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Hi, Mark DeLuzio, episode 48 of the Constitution Solution. We're going to talk today about who can declare war. And the answer lies in the U.S. Constitution. We all know President Trump came under fire from the far left, claiming that he, you know, broke his constitutional oath by declaring war. He didn't go to Congress. And of course, he's not the only president. Every president since World War II has taken their troops into battle without going to Congress. Now, I want to walk you through the Constitution and also walk you through some of the misunderstandings that so many have today. Now, this is not designed to be siding on one side of the aisle or the other. I think probably those of you who know me know I am a huge fan of President Trump and everything he's doing. But at the end of the day, the Constitution is what matters. And we have a history, especially our U.S. Congress, to cede away their responsibilities, their constitutional Article 1, Section 8 responsibilities to the executive branch. And it's happened time and time again with all kinds of different things, including these unconstitutional agencies with tariffs and also with their congressional constitutional responsibility to declare war. So this has nothing to do with parties. This is not going to be a biased look at this, but it is not going to bode well for the MAGA supporters, unfortunately, because the Constitution is very clear about who can declare war and what the president can and can't do. And there's a lot of confusion because we got this thing called the War Powers Act, which I will take you through and explain to you why the War Powers Act is a unconstitutional law. I will take you through what the founding fathers have said about going to war and how they thought about it. So let's go through and look at the history and see where this leaves us. And I'd be interested to know your thoughts on this simply because it's controversial. And I think at the end of the day, we have to fall on the side of our country and our Constitution, not on any political leader or political party. And I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. Okay. So let's talk about this. These are some of the things I heard over the last week or so concerning this very issue. Okay. They came from media pundits, podcasters, politicians, self-anointed, self-appointed legal scholars. You know, let's just read some of them. He is acting within his legal rights under the War Powers Act. Okay. Well, that may be true, except for the War Powers Act is unconstitutional. I'll explain that later. The War Powers Act overrides the Constitution. Can you imagine that? That a law can override the Constitution and we don't go through Article 5, which is amending the Constitution? No law can override the Constitution, but we'll get into that as well. Another comment I heard, he is commander-in-chief. Of course he can deploy our troops to war. No, he can't. Okay. And I'm going to prove that to you. The war was only one day. Oh, okay. I guess there's a timeline in terms of war. By the way, I'm going to take you through what war means and what the definition of war is. Okay. It was self. Oh, by the way, it was one day. So was Pearl Harbor. Okay. I guess that wasn't a declaration of war an act of war, I should say, on the Japanese on the United States, because it was only one day. Foolish arguments. It was self-defense. Now, there is some merit to this one, okay? Because the president can act as commander-in-chief in the spirit of self-defense. But you really have to look at what are we talking about with self-defense? Yeah, we can argue that
Iran
has attacked us through all kinds of different ways, through all the different terrorist groups. I mean, my son was probably killed through funding by
Iran
into some terrorist group, in this case, the Taliban. If you guys don't know, I'm a Gold Star father. I lost my son in Afghanistan. But that's a weak one, in my opinion, okay? Congress will only debate it and waste time. We can't go to Congress. We can't follow the law. It's going to be too time-consuming. They're going to debate it for too long. Really, that's exactly what the founders wanted. They wanted debate. Remember, Congress represents us, the people. There are representatives. When there's a unilateral decision to go to war, we are not consulted at all, okay? Simply because Congress is not consulted. There's no time to go to Congress. Same similar comment. One guy said, it's not a war. It's a skirmish, okay? And then, oh, yeah, hey, Biden and other presidents did it. Why can't we? You know, I hate to go back to what your mom told you. If all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you follow them? Okay. Just because other people did it, that is not legal precedent. All right. That is not legal precedent for breaking your constitutional oath and not following the Constitution. I'm sorry. All right. These are just some of the things I've heard podcasters say. I've heard, by the way, very knowledgeable podcasters. I've heard Mark Levin argue on this one, okay? And I've heard Sean Hannity, okay? I've heard all of the pundits, all kinds of people on social media, and this is where we have to be very careful that we don't become such ideologues into, you know, the MAGA movement or any one political party or politician. And again, I'm going on record here saying I love President Trump. Okay, he invited us to the White House to honor my son and my family after 9 years where Obama snubbed us, didn't call us, sent us a form robo-signed letter. Okay, 9 years later, we get a call, and he and Melania, they threw a party for us that you wouldn't believe. I am a big fan of President Trump, but I'm a bigger fan of our country. I'm a bigger fan of our Constitution when it gets violated. The reason we're in the mess we are today, because of ignoring and snubbing the Constitution, okay? And that may mean that you're going to have to fight for something that you don't like, all right? And I can go down the list of all the things that I feel are unconstitutional. The Federal Reserve has control of our monetary policy. The power of the purse rests with Congress, not with some, I don't know, can't even call them an agency because they're not an agency. An independent central bank, where we have very little, if any, control over those guys running it. You can go back and look at some of the episodes we did on the Federal Reserve. The unconstitutional agencies that are writing law through regulation. It's unconstitutional. Congress is supposed to write law, okay? And so forth. I can go on and on, okay? So this is something to think about now. The other part about this is the military-industrial complex is still very strong. There's a lot of money in war. You tell me why, after 20 years, we couldn't beat the Taliban. It was a gravy train for a lot of people and a lot of companies and a lot of CEOs and a lot of politicians and a lot of bureaucrats, both elected and unelected, okay? This is why the founders didn't want it put into the hands of one person the ability to go to war. So let's go to war. Now, this is, I've heard so many people on politicians, pundits, podcasters. This is not really a war, really. You drop a bomb on a country, that's war. Now, I always go back to Webster's 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster, not the Merriam-Webster dictionary, but Noah Webster's dictionary. He wrote this dictionary because he wanted to memorialize the words at the time that were used in our founding documents, because he knew the meanings would change, the words would change, they get misinterpreted, all kinds of things. So I am consulting this dictionary all the time, okay? And, you know, Noah Webster, it's just hard to believe when you look at this dictionary how one man did this without the internet. Oh, maybe that was an aid. It's incredible what he did. He amassed all these 70,000 some odd words. And he wanted to create a national language for America because he knew that even the English language was different, right? So let's look at what Noah Webster says about war. A contest, and I'm going to read these because if you're not looking on YouTube or Rumble, I'll have to read some of these things to you. And if you bear with me, he says, war is a contest between nations or states carried on by force, either for defense or for revenging insults and redressing wrongs, for the extension of commerce or acquisition of territory, or for obtaining and establishing the superiority or dominion over of one over the other. And he goes on to talk about these objects are accomplished by the slaughter or capture of troops and the capture and destruction of ships, towns, and property. Among rude nations, war is often waged and carried on for plunder. A war is a contest of nations or states. It always implies that such contest is authorized by the monarch or the sovereign power of the nation. When war is commenced by attacking a nation in peace, it is called an offensive war, such as an attack is aggressive. When war is undertaken to repel an invasion or the attacks of an enemy, it is called defensive. Okay, now, when you look at what war is, it's clear what war is, okay? When you drop a bomb on a country, that is an act of war. Just like Pearl Harbor was an act of war when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, okay? There's no question back then that that was an act of war. So this whole business that this is not really a war, but the people who say these things never really come back and define what they mean by what is war. They come up with silly arguments like, well, it's only one day. You know, I don't know. Is the 12-day war with Israel versus Iran, is that a war? Does it need to be 20 days? It's a foolish argument, okay? So I want to dispel the notion right now that this was not an act of war, okay? Number one, right? Okay. Now let's go to the Constitution. Article 1 all talks about the legislative branch, and that's the Congress and the Senate. For those of you out there in Rio Linda, God bless Rush Limbaugh, still miss him. And Article 1, Section 8 is the specific section of the Constitution that gives Congress the powers to write laws and what their responsibilities are. There's 18 enumerated powers. In Clause 11, the 11th enumerated power of Congress reads as follows. Congress shall have the power to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. Now, this whole business about marque and reprisal isn't as relative right now, but they have the power to enlist private people to go out and capture ships, to go into countries and capture enemies, to kill the enemy, whatever, you know, again, constitutes war. And it is spelled out in the Constitution, by the way, in terms of what they are allowed to do. But the whole key here is they shall have the power to declare war. Now, understand that because Congress declares war doesn't mean the president has to send troops He's still commander in chief. They cannot dictate what the president does as how he carries out the war. Okay, that's his responsibility in Article 2 of the Constitution as commander in chief. Okay, not only is he the chief executive of the country, but he's the commander in chief. Okay, and this is another reason why the War Powers Act, when we get to it, is unconstitutional, because the War Powers Act actually dictates what the president has to do after, let's say, 60 days. That's not Congress's job, okay, to do that. So the War Powers Act is unconstitutional for a couple reasons, and we will get into that. Now, here's some interesting facts I'd like you to know. The United States has not legally declared war since World War II, okay? And we've only declared war through Congress the proper way per the Constitution 11 times. One time was the War of 1812. One time was the Mexican-American War. One time was the Spanish-American War. We had two declarations of war in World War I, and we had six in World War II against various countries, you know, Japan, Germany, and Italy, and so forth. So that adds up to, if I did my math right, 11. That's it. And we have not declared war since. However, every president since World War II has violated their constitutional oath in terms of sending troops to war. On both sides of the aisle, by the way, okay? Now, the War Powers Act, which was written in 1973 and passed, was vetoed by President Nixon. But the veto was overridden by Congress. So they're coming off the Vietnam War in 1973. And this is, you know, the country was just tired of war. And so Congress thought, hey, we have to put this War Powers Act in to make sure the president doesn't, you know, violate his constitutional oath. And you're going to see what a farce this was in a minute when I get to this. Okay. Except for Desert Storm, the United States has not won a war since World War II. By the way, every war we were in was winnable. Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq. Go down the list, okay? The 20-plus year war in Afghanistan, known as, and it's kind of funny, Enduring Freedom, that's on my son's grave, okay, has lasted longer than the following wars combined. You ready for this? The Afghan War lasted longer than the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, the Gulf War, Bosnia, and Kosovo. Add all those up, and they do not equal the amount of time we're at war in Afghanistan, okay? Doesn't say much for the greatest army or military in the world, does it? Since 2001, the United States has spent over $6 trillion on these wars with a half a million fatalities, over a half a million fatalities, okay? And some of the notable, if you want to talk about some of the notable wars, in Korea, we lost 36,574 military personnel. When Truman sent us to Korea, he called it, he got some kind of resolution from the United Nations, which shouldn't count at all, didn't go to Congress, didn't think he had to, because he said it was a police action. Almost 37,000 body bags later, that's a hell of a police action, isn't it? Vietnam, 58,220. That's the count, I think, that's out there now. 58,000. Okay. And by the way, we're not talking about the arms and legs that were lost, the torture that so many went through. We're not talking about the mental anguish that is still plaguing our veterans today from Vietnam and all the other wars. Okay. By the way, you could see the Korean War with 37,000 killed is called the Forgotten War. Yeah, we want to forget that war. You bet. The government would love to have Americans forget about all these wars so they can move on to their next war. The military-industrial complex is very strong, and I did a whole episode on the military-industrial complex. There is no money in peace. Don't ever forget that, okay? And Eisenhower warned us about that in his farewell speech when he left office over 60 years ago about the military-industrial complex. Iraq lost 4,492, and Afghanistan, 2,325, of which one of those was my son, okay? So, as you can see, war is not fun, and I'm sure anybody who fought wars will agree with me on that, but there are some people that just absolutely love war. So I thought you'd want to know these interesting facts, okay, before we moved on here. Okay, I want to take you through some of our founding fathers and what they had to say about war. And please forgive me, I'm going to read this if you're listening. Hope you can stick with me. President George Washington, who presided over the Constitutional Convention and elaborated about responsibility for war, he said the following. The Constitution vests the power of declaring war with Congress. Therefore, no offensive expedition of importance can be undertaken until after they have deliberated on the subject and authorized such a measure. I don't know. Maybe I should have had George Washington, if he could come back from the dead, and debate Sean Hannity on that one, okay? Or debate some of these congressmen or political pundits or podcasters, okay? I don't know how you can get any clearer than that. So if you want to interpret the Constitution, there's one. I'm going to give you another one. There's this guy named Alexander Hamilton, okay? He said, the president is to be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States. Remember, we didn't have an Air Force back then. For those of you in Rio Linda, you're probably sitting there saying, hey, how about the Air Force? Yeah, they didn't have airplanes back then. Anyway, in this respect, he went on to say, his authority would be nominally the same with that of the King of Great Britain, but in direction of the military and naval forces as first general and admiral of the Confederacy, while that of the British king extends to the declaring of war and to the raising and regulating of fleets and armies, all which, by the Constitution under consideration, would appertain to the legislature. Geez, there's another guy that agreed with Washington. And there's another guy that didn't agree with Sean Hannity. Then this other guy here, you probably heard of him. His name is Thomas Jefferson. To me, he's probably the greatest statesman we've ever had. He wrote to Congress in 1805, quote, Congress alone is constitutionally invested with the power of changing our condition from peace to war, close quote. Can it get any clearer? Can this get any clearer of what these are the guys that formed our country and wrote the Constitution, okay? Fun fact to know that Thomas Jefferson didn't sign the Constitution because he was in Europe, okay? But he would have if he was here, and he weighed in on this quite heavily. And as you know, he was the author of the Declaration of Independence, okay? And then let's go to, speaking of the author, the father of the Constitution, the guy who wrote the Constitution, James Madison. He wrote to Thomas Jefferson on April 2nd, 1798, the Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrates, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislature. And he went on and also said the following. In no part of the Constitution is more wisdom to be found than in the clause which confides the question of war or peace to the legislature and not to the executive department. Besides the objective to such a mixture of heterogeneous powers, the trust and the temptation would be too great for any one man. Not such as nature may offer as the prodigy of many centuries, but such as may be expected in the ordinary successions of magistracy. So I don't know what to tell you guys, okay? I mean, you can listen to all the pundits. You can listen to all the Mark Levins that you want in the world. You can click on any constitutional podcast, right wing, okay? These are the guys I listen to. These are the guys that wrote the Constitution. And you could see through these writings where their head was, okay? Now, the War Powers Act of 1973, this one really made a big ball of confusion with this whole business about going to war, okay? And so many have fell prone to it, all right? I even heard Bill O'Reilly the other day. He quoted the War Powers Act and says, yeah, see, the president's in perfectly within the scope of the law. Well, guess what? The law only is legit if it's in concert with the Constitution. This is an unconstitutional law, and I'll show you why in a minute. The War Powers Act is a bill designed to limit the president's ability to initiate or escalate military actions abroad. That is not true. It gives the president the power to just advise Congress not to get their declaration of war, but just to inform or advise Congress, and gives him the ability to deploy our troops for 60 days. How is that in concert with what I just read to you with the Founding Fathers in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11? Please tell me how. Please tell me how this is, in fact, in concert with that. It's not, okay? The Act grants the President the authority to deploy U.S. military forces to armed conflict without the consent of the U.S. Congress and requires the President to notify Congress within 48 hours of military action. So, even with that said, the President can deploy troops anywhere he wants, and he has 48 hours to inform or notify Congress. They won't even know what's happening, okay? And supposedly that happened this time, okay? I don't know. I think somebody said he informed Chuck Schumer. I don't know. But anyway, he's not Congress, by the way. He's part of the Senate. But that is a fact. That is what this law says. So how could this law, you see, you cannot write a law that says, oh, yeah, that part of the Constitution doesn't count. We have a law. We have a law, and I did one on terrorists that said, you know, the president cannot dictate terrorists. That has to go through Congress. Why? Because it's the power of the purse. The power of the purse goes through Congress, and terrorists are part of that. Okay? You can't write a law that says, that part doesn't count anymore. That's like kind of saying, you know, you're ahead, you know, 6-2 in the eighth inning, and then the other team comes back with, you know, 10 runs and beats you in the ninth. And then you say, well, you know, we're going to rewrite the rules of baseball because we're not going to count the ninth inning anymore. You can't do that. Congress cannot write laws. And what's mind-boggling to me, how these laws have been allowed to stand and not be challenged with the Supreme Court. Mind-boggling to me. And you don't need to be a legal scholar. You know, I get accused all the time. Well, you're not a lawyer. You know, it's the lawyers that are screwing this up, guys. Okay? So many in Congress are writing these laws. Okay? I'm not a lawyer. No, but I know how to read. Okay. I know how to interpret. I know how to read. God gave me half a brain. You don't need to be a lawyer. Matter of fact, if I became a lawyer, I might have been polluted with some liberal law school that is pushing towards a Marxist agenda. I've got lawyer friends right now on the left that have zero clue how this Constitution works. All right? It's not that hard. And the founders did not intend for the Constitution to only be interpreted by the elite, the educated. Okay? You read the darn thing, it's pretty clear. Okay? The War Powers Act is unconstitutional. So I'm going to take you back once again. I'll close out with Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11. The Congress shall have the power to declare war. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Don't really know what to tell you. So you can hear all kinds of things. You can hear all kinds of things on the news. And you're going to hear, you know, all kinds of comments, all kinds of commentators, all kinds of interpretations of what war means, of the Constitution. You know, Bill O'Reilly didn't even reference the Constitution. He just looked at the War Powers Act. At one point, I thought he was a pretty smart guy. Okay? The law is invalid, guys. You can't write a law. This is why we have Article 5 in the Constitution, the Convention of States. If we want to change the Constitution, the founders gave us the ability to do that. But you can't write a law that says the Constitution doesn't count. I don't know. We're losing our country because of things like this. This is why I'm fighting for this. We're losing our country because of things like this, okay? Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people have died because we fought unjust wars. Vietnam was a lie. It did not get approval from Congress. Johnson lied about the Gulf of Tonkin, okay? George Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction. Okay, Afghanistan should never have gone on for 20 years. All these wars are unconstitutional wars that we fought, we bled, and many died for. But also, a lot of people made a lot of money. The military-industrial complex, I just told you earlier, $6 trillion on these wars. That's larger than our whole economy. Well, our economy is around 20 trillion, but larger than our budget. And a lot of this spending, by the way, happens off budget, by the way. There's all kinds of other things that go on with emergency spending bills that don't show its way into the budget. Okay, the normal operating budget of the military or of the government itself. And this is where we're printing money through the Federal Reserve, driving the value of our dollar down further and further and further because of this printing of money with this central bank cartel called the Federal Reserve. This all ties together. The military-industrial complex and which, by the way, the Thomas Jefferson warned against the central bank. He had such foresight. This guy was brilliant. He knew what was going to happen. We got rid of the gold standard, and then that took the top off the debt ceiling. We can now just print money, buy government securities, and we got to pay back the Fed with interest out of money that was created out of nothing. A few keystrokes on a computer. Literally, that's what it is. Okay. And if you ever wonder why a loaf of bread back in the early 70s maybe cost, you know, 40 cents and now it's $4, that's why. Inflation is defined as the expansion of the money supply. Okay? the result is higher prices because your dollars are worth less. Your bank account is worth less. It's the worst tax on the American people, which is why the American dream is gone. People with two college degrees, couples that have to both work jobs and can't afford to get out of a one or two bedroom apartment. Why is that? That's not the America I grew up in, but that's what these people are doing to us. And this whole business about war is part of that. And the whole business about just ignoring the Constitution, not only in this case, but in many other cases, is where we are meeting our demise. So as much as I love President Trump, as much as I love most of his policies, and I think he's perhaps the best president in my lifetime, I think he's better than Ronald Reagan, just between you and me. As much as I love President Trump, I love our country more. I love our Constitution more. And I know the founders, once you study the Constitution and understand the genius in the Constitution, we would not have the problems we're having today if we would just be true to the Constitution. This is why I call this podcast Constitution Solution, One Podcast Under God, because if we follow the Constitution, most of our problems would go away. I'll leave you with that. That's my opinion on this. I know it's not popular with MAGA. I'm probably going to get a lot of heat over this. But again, time will tell that I am correct. I am correct in this. And you're saying, oh, well, geez, you're siding with AOC and you're siding with the left. This is the one time that they are correct, okay? Although you have to challenge why they remain silent all the other times when Biden took us into Yemen, into Jordan, into Iraq, and to other places, Syria. He did the exact same thing, but so did all the other presidents. All of a sudden, now it's a big deal, right? So there's a lot of inconsistency there. They are constitutional opportunists. You're going to find I'm consistent. I don't care who's the president, what party, or what. I first stand for our Constitution. And that's why I'm doing this. And I think it's in our best interest to do so, no matter how unpopular it might be with the Sean Hannitys of the world and Mark Levins and your favorite podcaster and your favorite radio host, okay, or your favorite politician, or in this case, your favorite president. So anyway, I'm going to sign off there. This is episode 48. Who can declare war? I hope you understand my point of view. And it's not just my point of view, guys. It's our founding father's point of view. It can't get any clearer than the way I laid it out. All right. The answer lies in the Constitution. See you next time. Thanks for listening to the Constitution Solution, One Podcast Under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.